Abundant Life Ministries, where lives are changing. Our pastor, Zinzalay R. Legend, brings you this message. Follow her on Twitter at MyPastorLegend and like Abundant Life Ministries, WLAC, on Facebook. Be blessed.
Tommy Tierney says in his God Chasers book, whoever or whatever comes into the manifested presence of God begins to absorb the very material matter of Him. Father, we thank You and praise You for this moment and this hour. We thank You for the work that You are yet doing even now. Speak a word to Your sons, speak a word to Your daughters, that we might know more of You than we did when we came in this place today. Touch us, oh God, that we will know how real You are. Speak to us, oh Lord, that our souls might be fed. Sit me down, take me out of it. Deny me the ability to preach this word and use me in whatever way that You see fit. Have Your way. Have Your way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God has created us in His image. Amen. And that means that as His children, we have the potential to speak like Him and think like Him and act like Him and even look like Him. One of the famous quotes that church folk love to say is, God is good. And then they added, and all the time, God is good. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. We say it so much in our churches that it has become cliche, and the power of those powerful words is being sapped out of it because people aren't thinking about what they're saying. They're just saying it because that's what they've been told to say.
Right.
But there's a multiplicity of reasons why God, in fact, is good. His grace is sufficient. His mercy endures forever. His love is unconditional. He is the Almighty God. He's the God that cannot, does not, will not fail. But one thing that often gets overlooked when we are pondering the reality of God is what God desires.
Right.
We don't often take time to think about. We talk about who God is and what God has to offer us, but we don't often take the time to reflect on and sit back and think about what God desires and what brings Him pleasure and enjoyment, what entertains God and what makes God feel good. God likes to feel good, family. We've been created in His image and we like to feel good, don't we? So it just makes sense to believe that our God likes to feel good as well. And we'll go to great lengths to feeling good. We'll spend a whole lot of money just to feel good. And there's a whole lot of things in this life that can make us get that feel good feeling that we like to have. For sports fans, if your team wins, that feels good, right? But for parents, when your baby takes their first steps, that feels good as well. And I don't know about you, but I feel good after a good home-cooked meal, amen, somebody. That feels good. It feels good when somebody tells you you've lost a few pounds, and it feels good to listen to your favorite song or watch your favorite movie. It feels good to feel like you have accomplished a goal that you have been striving for. It felt good to vote in our first black president. There's a whole lot of things in this life that feel good or that make us feel good. And there are three areas in which we desire to feel good. Everything that makes us feel good can fit in the category of either mind, body, or spirit. Yeah. Mind, body, or spirit. So we pursue this feeling of goodness in all of those areas. And, you know, we may not enjoy our job, but we do enjoy the money that we get from it. Amen. And right. Sometimes our family might get on our nerves, but it's good to know they're there in a pinch. Amen. And we may not want to do the work of cleaning up our house, but doesn't it feel good when the house is clean?
Right.
And unfortunately, like anything else, the pursuit of this feeling good gets perverted. And sometimes we place too much emphasis on how we feel as opposed to just being good. The goal is to be good as God is good.
I like that.
Now, last week, if you were here, we learned about manifestation of promise, amen, and about the law of sowing and reaping. In other words, about harvest. We learned about being a cheerful giver and how God is the supplier, the enlarger, the increaser. We learned about the seven levels of relationship that we can have in Him. And we learned about this cycle of relationship that also taught us how to be givers as well as receivers. Does that make any sense so far? Do you remember that?
Yes.
We learned the appropriate response when being given a gift and to thank God and to pray for the one that we receive from so that they can be on the giving end and do that as well and keep that thing rolling until all around the world there is love and peace and joy and contentment.
That's right.
If we continue to sow generously and to pray continually and to expect manifestation and to reap our harvest. Last week we learned that He is the Lord of the harvest. And today we're going to continue to explore God's declaration for 2010. And the theme for this day is manifestation of presence.
Right. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Manifestation of presence. The theme for the year is manifestation. Isn't that right?
And amen.
That means to reveal, to show up, to become evident or apparent. It means to be obvious, to be able to be seen with the naked eye, to be audible, to be able to be heard. It's tangible. To manifest is to be what it is and not what it's going to be. Open up your Bibles to the Gospel according to John. Yes, we're going to be in the Gospel according to John on today, and we're going to be looking at chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. But as you are flipping through your Bible to find the location of the scripture for the day, let me just say that John is, as many of you know, the beloved disciple. He had a personal relationship with Jesus, and in that, his gospel is unique and peculiar. It's a little different than the other three gospels that exist. The other three are called the synoptic gospels because they're very, very similar. John stands alone because of his personal relationship with Jesus, and at the point where we find this text, Jesus is with his disciples in the upper room on the Thursday night that he was to be betrayed. Now, one thing that we have to look for as we're reading our scriptures is evidence of the Trinity. It shows up in the Old Testament. It shows up in the New Testament. The Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Come on,
amen.
Teach.
And so we're going to see the Trinity in full effect in this teachings, the final lessons that Jesus was giving to his disciples as he was preparing to be betrayed and arrested.
All right.
John chapter 15. If we're with me, will you say
amen?
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Verse 1 says, I am the vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Jesus is the vine, and God the Father is the gardener. In other words, he is the Lord of the harvest. He's still talking about harvest time in this passage, and he's saying that everything that is not within him, that does not bear fruit, is going to be separated from him or cut off from him. Are you with me so far?
Yeah.
He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes.
Right.
And to be pruned is not to be cut off, but it's to be cut back. It's to release those things that stand in the way of our personal relationship with God. It's to let go of some habits and some practices and some relationships that get in the way of where God desires for us to go. When he prunes us back, it helps us to discover our true selves, and all that extra gets wiped away.
Yeah. Yes.
Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Because when we get cut off from God, we can no longer be in his manifested presence. Now, we're always in the presence of God because once saved, always saved, and the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of us, but his presence doesn't always show up. It's not always obvious. It doesn't always make itself plain to the naked eye. If there are areas that we've been separated from him. And when that happens, when we get cut off from him, not pruned back, but cut off, we can't see clearly. We can't hear clearly. We can't think clearly. We start making poor decisions, operating in bad judgment because we don't understand the voices that we are hearing, and we misinterpret the voice of the enemy or the voice of ourselves for the voice of God.
Okay.
We start to make mistakes about what God desires for us, and it leaves room for the enemy to step in and move about and have his way. Before we get into that, let me just, God has called us to bear fruit.
Okay.
That's what it says, right?
Yes. Right?
We've been called to bear fruit, and if we don't bear fruit, then we're going to be cut off. And this fruit is the fruit of the Spirit that can be found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, where it talks about the joy and the peace and the love and the self-control. It talks about the goodness and the gentleness. It talks about those wonderful things that we can demonstrate, that we can become in God, that will allow everything else that we desire to gravitate to us. Because when people are pleased with our presence, they tend to give us things. They tend to soak into us because they want to continue what they see in us. Somebody knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's why the richest and wealthiest celebrities that you can ever find stay in every hotel for free, get all their meals for free, ain't got to pay for no gas. They're the ones that need to be paying for it. But because people are pleased with who they are and like to be in their presence, they like to sow into that celebrity, hoping some of that might rub off. Keep it real now. Hoping some of that might rub off on them. We think fruit is houses and cars and bling, trophy wives and husbands and whatnot. We get to thinking that the fruit are the material things that we can achieve and acquire in this life. And I'm here to let you know today that if you pursue the fruit of the Spirit, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness.
Right.
And all these things, that's what the Bible says, that all these things will be added to you, will be given to you
as
well. Because if you delight yourself in me, if you take pleasure in God, God will take pleasure in giving you what you want. Take the limits off, family, and let God manifest himself in your life.
But
when we decide we're not going to trust in bearing the good fruit, there will be other fruit that we bear. We'll start to bear the fruit of the enemy.
Come on.
Doubt, confusion, negativity, lies, rebellion, insecurity, impatience, judgmentalism will start to look more like the enemy of God than God himself. And that's what will start to manifest when we find ourselves separated from him. You know how it is. When it's not going your way and you haven't trusted God, negativity starts jumping in that mind. We start thinking things and saying things that don't represent God. I know I'm not the only one. I know I'm not the only one. He says that whoever does bear fruit is going to be pruned. Discipline is required for us to grow into everything that God has purposed for us to be. And when the plant of God, the branch of God, if you will, gets to thinking that where I am right now is where I have arrived and I don't need to grow anywhere else, and this is all I'm ever going to be, weeds set in. Weeds get to rising up and tangling up and choking out the goodness that is in us. And if we let weeds fester long enough in a field, we won't see the fruit. We won't see the intended purpose of the field because it's been choked. Sunflowers are weeds. Some things that we find beautiful are actually weeds, able to grow on their own without cultivation. Wild. Lacking discipline. He says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Now, I don't want you to get all confused about the word clean, because in the Greek, pruning and cleaning are the same word.
All right. Teach us.
And in order to get pruned, we'll start to get cleaned up. Amen. We'll start to be able to see our intended selves. And sometimes we can look in the mirror and it's a little bit cloudy because we're not sure who we are. We got to let God prune us so that we can get cleaned up, so that we can start to look more like him. Does that make sense to anybody? Is that making sense? It's necessary, and we're in a season of pruning right now. This is a consecration that we're in. Fasting is a time of pruning. To be on receive is a time of pruning. And in order to take the limits off, we've got to prune the limits.
We got to
cut back in order to grow forward, so that the desirable fruit can manifest itself in our lives. We got to get cleaned up. We got to get pruned in order for God to be pleased. Mm-hmm. Verse 4, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Jesus is saying in that upper room on that last night, just before he was to be betrayed, that I need you to remain in me, abide in me, dwell in me, stay in me. That's what he says. We have to allow ourselves to be consumed by the presence of God, and that can only happen if we're committed to staying in Him. Now, the truth of the matter is that He is in us and He's going to stay in us, but the manifested presence of God flows in and out based on our behavior. He doesn't love us based on our behavior, but He'll show up based on what we do, based on what we do not do. Does that make sense to anybody? The only way to have evidence of His presence is to be able to stay right there where He is. And what we produce without Him is not fruit that's going to last. It may even be counterfeit fruit. It might appear to be fruit, but truly it's weeds masquerading as fruit. And when we seek the wrong things in this life, like fame or fortune or to be debt free or to have beauty, we abort the promise that if we remain in Him and His word remains in us, we can ask whatever we will and it will be given. We serve a complex God that keeps things very simple for us so that we don't miss His promise, so that we don't miss the manifestation of His presence. He said that if we remain in Him as the branch, which means that we can't run ahead of Him trying to become the vine. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Because a lot of times we get on excited for God, we get on fire for God, and we get to running ahead of God, running after God, when God has said, be still. Or God has said, slow down. And regardless of that, He said, you are my disciple. I'm not yours.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm not your
disciple.
Thank you. Come back.
Right.
And stay behind the presence of God.
Right.
In order that we can continue to bask in His manifested presence. Because when we get up there ahead of Him, we in territories of darkness. Because He's not there yet. In a manifested way. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
He is the vine.
Mm-hmm.
We are the branch. And as a result of His Holy Spirit, we have the opportunity to bear good fruit. And that will allow us to be able to shift from the desires of the worldly into the desires of the holy. And we've got to make sure that everything that we're running after is in His timing. Because there are a lot of things with God's stamp on it, but that doesn't mean that thing is for us right now. We have to know our assignment. And if we haven't yet bore fruit, then we are still just the branch. And we've got to stay as close as we can to the vine in order for the Spirit to flow through us and create the fruit that others will be able to see. Because if you start going out and you haven't yet bore your fruit, then they're not going to know what kind of tree you are. They're not going to know who you are, whose you are, or who you represent.
Right.
So we've got to stay close to the vine and let our fruit have a chance to grow. Apart from God, we will be perpetually in a position of making bad decisions and unsatisfied, and will feel negative because we don't understand where it is we are and where it is we're supposed to be. And so if we find ourselves separated from Him, as the word says, then we're going to be just like that branch that is of no use to God. It's going to be thrown away and burned. But verse 7 says, if you will remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatsoever. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. So the process of getting what we want out of God is to making sure we abide in him and that we stay as close to him as humanly possible so that his manifested presence will always be where we are. We won't have to wait to come to church in order to experience his manifested presence. We won't have to wait to get into the presence of some holy people in order to be in the manifested presence of God. We will be able to experience God and his manifested presence, the fully showing up of God wherever we are. We can shout and dance and worship in the privacy of our own home.
That's right.
Because we can still feel his goodness all around us. And to be in his presence manifests change. Because we cannot come into his presence and be unchanged. There's something that is going to be moved or removed in us as a result of an encounter with God. And God, one of the things that he will do is shift our desires. He'll make us want things differently than what we used to want. And the Bible says that this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. In other words, that if we do what God says do by remaining in his will, by studying his word and understanding his word and making use of his word in our daily lives, if we make it a point to desire to be in his manifested presence, then whatever we want, we're going to get. And other people are going to ask, how'd you get that? They're going to inquire, how can you have peace in the midst of your storm? They're going to want to know, why is your joy so full?
Right.
And you'll have opportunity to witness to your Father's glory what God has already done for you. Because we'll be showing ourselves to be his disciples. And glory is a one word for manifestation. Is the one word for manifestation of his presence. And when God is glorified, that's when other people can see it. When it's evidence to the naked eye, and others can experience the manifested presence of God as well. And when we live in this presence, when we dwell in this reality, then we won't have to run off trying to seek where his presence is, because wherever we are, that's where he is as well. That ought to be good news for somebody. That really ought to be good news for somebody. I'm still talking about manifestation of presence. And God has charged me to help everyone, myself included, to understand how can we dwell in this manifested presence at all times? How can we get that feeling that we had during worship today, even when my day is not going right, even when people are negative all around me, even when people are talking bad about me or laughing at me or misunderstanding me? How can I continue to be and operate and function in this manifestation?
Come on.
Mind, body, and spirit. We've got to make sure that our Trinity is in alignment with his Trinity. And then we'll be able to experience a never-ending worship on the inside of us. A never-ending devotion. And that doesn't mean that you got to go around making people feel uncomfortable by saying, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, glory to God, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. But it means that's what you got on the inside of you, and it's just going to well up in all different forms and fashions. And people are going to be drawn to you like a moth to the flame.
All right,
so when we think about our mind and how we can persist in a manifestation of his presence, we've got to be willing to take into captivity our very thoughts and make them obedient to Christ. That means that we can control what we think. A lot of times people try to say, well, I can't help what I think. That's a lie from the pit of hell. That's what the devil wants you to believe. But we've got to be able to take into captivity and decide, I'm not going to think about that anymore. If you've ever done it, I'm here to tell you that it works. The Bible also says resist the devil and he will flee from you. If you say, I can't take into captivity my thoughts, then you telling me you can't resist the devil. Because that's where he sows seeds, in the garden of our mind. And eventually, if we don't check it, weeds is all we're going to be able to harvest. We've got to make our thoughts obedient to Christ, even if we have to say out loud, no, I'm not going to think that anymore.
That's real. That's right.
Because sometimes saying it just inside your brain, it don't work. You'll still be thinking it, even though you said, I don't want to think it, I don't want to think it. But there's still, you know, that little video, that screen in your brain. You know what I'm saying. That screen in your brain, and sometimes you got to say it out loud to just shut down the projector. And every time it comes up, no! I'm not going to think it.
That's right.
Your people, your coworkers might think you're crazy, but you ain't living for them.
Right.
Don't be thinking stuff you're not supposed to think just to make sure they ain't all right with you.
Okay.
Take into captivity our very thoughts.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
And make them obedient to Christ. And don't use the excuse, well, I don't know a lot of the word yet, and I don't know the Bible, and I don't know the difference between the old, but do you know Jesus is real?
Thank you.
If you know he's real, you can just call his name out loud and the demons will start to flee.
That's it. That's it.
Sometimes that's all you got to say. Sometimes you ain't got time for no sentences or paragraphs. You ain't got no time for no spiritual dissertation. You got to get it out now.
You better know it.
Help me, Jesus.
Right now.
And guess what? He'll help you.
That's right.
That's what I love about Jesus.
That's right.
He ain't going to put you on hold and tell you, I don't have time right now. Get back to me in a little while. He's not going to tell you, I got to check on these people because they got more issues more important than yours. He's going to be right there.
Yeah.
Manifested presence.
Right. That's it.
Body.
Body.
We got to get our body in alignment with the Trinity of God. And I know some of y'all think I'm about to, you know, do a commercial for the gym and whatnot. I ain't mad at working out. Well, maybe I might be a little mad at it, but that's neither here nor there. But that's not what I'm talking about so much. Not so much. Yes, that's a part of it, but, you know, some people start worshiping the gym.
Yes, it's true.
Start worshiping their body. The body is the temple. It's the indwelling. It's the place where God lives. It's where we inhabit the presence of the Lord. And so we have to decide what kind of house we want God to live in. And don't fool yourself into thinking bigger is better. I'm going to go ahead and let this way stay on because God can be an imagine in me. No. Don't do that. I'm just saying, you know, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. We'll get to that in a minute, but we have to understand that this is his dwelling place. This is where he lives. Is it smoky in there? Is it funky in there? What's the projector showing in your body over and over again? Is it a movie God wants to see? Where do we have him sleeping? Are the sheets dirty?
Oh.
we forcing them to watch while we going to bed? We, you know, I like to say, you know, I fall asleep to the TV and the TV start watching me, but God is awake. What do I have him looking at while I'm asleep? Where are we taking him? Where is he going? Is he going places you wouldn't take your pastor? Then don't take him. Don't take him. The body is where God lives. And we want him to be pleased with where he lives. We don't want him having to look over and look over and try to figure out where can I sit? I don't even have this fat over here. It's a spleen over. I ain't got nowhere to sit. Is there room for God inside of your being? Because what he created in each and every one of us is the potential for where he wants to live. But did we destroy it? Did we tear it up? Did we abuse it? Because we got this body for free. You know how it is when we get stuff for free. We don't usually, you know, appreciate unless we pay for it. But how about Jesus paid it all?
That's
true. There's no mortgage because it's already been paid.
Right.
And now our responsibility is to take the best care we can of the body that's been given to us. Isn't he worthy of it?
Yes.
He is worthy of living in the best house. He's not looking for big. He's just looking for better. He wants to be comfortable. He wants to take pleasure in being in there. Is he always hearing cursing in the atmosphere? You know, what's our conversation that he keeps hearing? It's just on a, you know, it's on a loudspeaker inside. What are we subjecting him to hearing? I think you got it, right?
It's cutting.
Do you want to be in his manifested presence at all times?
Yes.
Then you got to be pruned.
Amen.
That's why it cuts. That's exactly why it cuts. Be pruned today, family.
Amen.
Be pruned
Amen.
Today.
Amen.
Spirit. Spirit in this scripture is evidenced by the fruit. By the fruit that we bear. God is the gardener, Jesus is the vine, and the Holy Spirit is the fruit that comes out of us as a result of abiding in God's love. And in order to be able to bear the fruit of the Spirit, we've got to be fed the Word of God. If you only get the Word once a week, I wonder what your fruit is looking like. I've got plants in my house that if I don't water them right, they might stay alive, but their buds won't grow.
Right.
I won't never see a manifestation of the blossom because it's holding on in the roots as much as it can to survive. That's what happens with us when the only time we're under the word is when we're under this roof.
Good.
We might need to feed our body less and feed our spirit more. That might be the ticket right there. We've got to not only feed the word to our spirits, but then we've got to do what it says. Because it's not enough to be able to just quote it and walk around impressing people with what you think you know of the word. The fruit of knowing the word is in fact doing the word. That's the fruit of it. It's not quoting it. You might be able to outquote somebody, but somebody else might be able to outlive you. So don't get impressed when folk get to quoting scripture and knowing all the names of the of the books of the Bible backward and forward while smoking a cigarette.
Right.
While on their way to go get that drink. Have that woman, that man. Don't be impressed by the words that come out of their mouth. The manifestation is the life that they are actually living, and people ought to be able to see and know that we are God's child. We shouldn't have to open up our mouth and tell them anything. They ought to know by the way we speak, by the way we carry ourselves, by the way we act, by the things that we do. They should know. And even if they can't pinpoint it and say, she's a child of God, they ought to say, there's something different about her. There's something. Because either they're going to love you or they're going to hate you. If you got all everybody liking you, you ain't doing it right. So if they really love you, and then there's another camp that really just can't stand you, you might just be on the right track. You might just be on the right track, because they're not hating you. They're hating the God in you. Amen?
Amen.
Still talking about manifestation of presence. And, you know, it feels good to be in God's presence, doesn't it? I mean, it just feels good. Just like we didn't want to let it go today, because we knew we were in God's presence. And we don't often want to leave that presence. And, you know, we get excited about coming to church. I get text messages on Sunday morning telling me, oh, I'm excited. I can't wait to get here. And I respond, I'm excited too. Because it's something special. It's something unique about being in God's presence on a Sunday. It feels so good. It makes us want to dance and sing and shout. Some of us might want to run around every now and then. Some of us are not quite as freed up as Isaac and Titus, but we want to do what they're doing sometimes.
Right.
Because that's how good it feels to be in the manifested presence of God. And the Bible says that where two or more are gathered in my name, I'm present. And in the midst. So we know that we get two or more to come together, my Holy Ghost gonna connect with your Holy Ghost, and we're gonna have a Holy Ghost good time. But be careful, because we have to acknowledge and understand who we're chasing in this life. And we are always chasing after something, because that's how we have been created. We've been created to move forward towards a goal. That's what we do, because we are human and God wants us to chase him. But when we get caught up chasing other people, trying to please them, they gonna let us down, and we gonna let them down too. When we get caught up chasing success, it will rise and fall like the ebb and flow of the ocean. Or when we get caught up chasing money, once we get the money, we realize, oh, it really doesn't bring me happiness. It really was just a means to an end. But chasing God means that we're always aspiring to be in his presence, so that whenever we need him, we'll be able to find him, and we can just shout and dance and worship God wherever we are, because we don't care what other people think about us. God is just that good. When we start to get chills just reflecting on a prayer that God has answered, or a move that God has done, when we start to feel how real God is, that's when we can declare God is good and really mean it with our whole heart. And that's when others will begin to see the family resemblance, and they'll begin to recognize and know that we belong to God. Right. To be in the manifested presence of God means that we're in the presence of everything our heart desires. Did you get that? To be in his manifested presence means that everything that we want is right there. It's right there with him. And to stay and abide and remain in his presence means that we'll be able to watch God work. We'll watch the glorious works of God manifest themselves right before our eyes in plain sight.
All right.
We'll start to see our sacrifices turning into reward.
Yeah.
And when we get there, there's really no turning back, Mama Free. You understand what I'm saying? There's no turning back, because we have reached a level in our relationship with God where we know how good God is, and everything else falls short. Everything else pales in comparison. But until we get there, we're going to struggle with who we are. We're going to have some good fruit, and we're going to have some wretched fruit. We're going to have weeds popping up, And we're going to be getting pruned and resisting the pruning because it doesn't feel good to us right now. But when we get to that place where we will not compromise whatever it takes to feel the presence of God every single day, then we'll begin to know a peace that surpasses all understanding, a joy that is unspeakable, and a life that is lived perpetually in abundance. He will feel so good to us that we're able to let go of those temporary moments of pleasure in pursuit of an everlasting goodness, desiring to be closer and closer to Him. We can feel good in our mind, our body, and our spirit, but there's nothing that can touch the touch of God. There's nothing that can come close to how God feels when we are basking in His presence. We can get healed. We may have been fragmented, but we can be made whole. We can walk away from depression. We can start to feel like we've got a plan for our lives. God can begin to set goals for us, and we can start to pursue things. We can get delivered from some things, and we can get salvation over and over and over again. Not that it's lost, but that it's been renewed, where it comes alive all over again on the inside of us. But this perpetual reality in His presence can only be achieved through character development and sustained spiritual growth. In order to enjoy the heights of God, we've got to endure the depths of God as well, so that we can move from just feeling good on an occasion to being good at all times. And in order for us to operate in goodness, we've got to be obedient. Yeah, she talks about obedience all the time. She throws that word out every sermon. It's always about obedience. But we've got to be obedient to God. We've got to be obedient to our covering, and we've got to be obedient to our personal truth. And true obedience is not just doing what we're supposed to do. True obedience is not a reaction to a mandate. True obedience is not a practice. It's more than a lifestyle. It's a longing, a desire to please God, to want to find favor in Him, to want God to be happy with who we are because of who He created us to be. Obedience in truth is a hunger. We've got to have an appetite for God and His word. Remain in me and my word remain in you. You ask whatever you will and it will be given to you. Yes. When we jump in and out of His will, in and out of our commitment to His word, in and out of our commitment to the church, we find ourselves jumping in and out of the manifestation of God's presence. And if you desire to be there at all times, I encourage you to understand and know whoever or whatever is exposed to the manifested presence of God will begin to absorb the very material matter of Him. Now, what this simply means is it's like if you're in a sandstorm in the desert. You may have never been in one, but have you ever seen one on TV where the sand is just swirling about and it's nonstop and you can't see ahead of you because the sand is just all around you, all over you? God's manifested presence is like being in a sandstorm in the desert. When God's presence is manifested, it's going to be in front of you, behind you, above you, all around you, and you will get hit by it. You can't be in a sandstorm and not get hit by some sand. That's right. The material matter of God are the particles that are swirling in the atmosphere all around us, even right now, where we are being hit. hit by his glory. We're being hit by his love.
Yes.
Picture that. That's what happens in the atmosphere when God's presence is manifested. So, in other words, if you live in a state of constant manifestation, wherever you go are particles of God that are hitting the people that you come in contact with. They may not get it, they may not understand it, but they're being changed by it, because whoever or whatever comes into the manifested presence of God begins to absorb the very material matter of him. It's not your business to know what happens after your sandstorm leaves their presence. It's just your business to be the sandstorm.
Yeah.
It's manifestation, family. And God has already proven that in the short, what has been a week that we have been in 2011, God has already proven that manifestation is in the atmosphere, and it's just coming right on down into the physical. Some feels good, and not all of it feels good, but I'm here to tell you today that the reaping has begun. I said, the reaping has begun. And you know what else? He's here right now. The glory of the Lord is in this place, and there are particles of God that are swirling all around us in order to encapsulate themselves inside of us, that we will shine with his glory. Because you know, I don't know if I'm going to even go there.
Yeah. Please.
Well, you know, it takes particles of sand to make glass.
Yeah.
So it might start off as sand, but it continues to get worked on. Then it's glass, and we don't mind it, because we okay with being transparent, because we want people to see the God in us. Let your glory be revealed, oh God. Let your presence be revealed, oh God. We still need you, Emmanuel. We need you to be with us. He's the Lord of the breakthrough.
He is
the Lord of the breakthrough. Last week we talked about the Lord of the harvest. This week, understand that if you remain in me and his words remain in you, he's going to break through. He's going to burst forth. He's going to become the manifestation of his promise. Amen, somebody. Amen. And amen. Stand on your feet right now. Stand.